hope you received an outline when you came in this morning. They're out in the foyer. If you didn't receive one, you're very welcome to go back. But I ask my brethren to kind of look around and please share or take notice. But if you'd like to follow along. The lesson this morning comes from the text that was read to us. I've titled it, Lessons from the Flood, or As in the Days of Noah. And so there's four lessons that I want to key on, or exhortations. Number one, a lesson from the flood, is that the earth will again be destroyed, but next time by fire, according to the biblical message. Number two, as in the days of Noah, we don't know when that day will be. Just don't know. Number three, as in Noah's time, God's long suffering will end. It's a lesson from the flood. Then number four, those who do not prepare will be destroyed. And that's something that we can avoid. So by way of introduction, I put there some compliments that are given to Noah. He's given an attaboy, if you will. But in Genesis 6, verse 8, it says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Gracious Noah. In verse 9, Noah was a just man. He was perfect in his generations, and he walked with God. In verse 22, still in Genesis chapter 6, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, and so he did. That's mentioned four times in the story of Noah preparing the ark. That same phrase is used in the next chapter in verse 5 and verse 9 and verse 16. In Hebrews chapter 11, there's a reference to this Old Testament story. It says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, and he moved with godly fear. He prepared an ark for the saving of his household, and he became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And then Peter also mentions it in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. It says, God did not spare the ancient world, but he saved Noah, one of eight people. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and he brought in the flood on the world of the ungodly. When we look back, some of the great compliments have been paid to this man of God in the Old Testament. He found grace. He was a just man. He walked with God. He did all that God commanded him. He moved with godly fear. So there's an example for us in our walk with God to look at Noah. See, I want to be somewhat like that man. But here's the story. And I'm looking through my notes and I said, boy, I didn't have much to say. Most of my notes are all the biblical text. So I'm just going to do a lot of Bible reading in our lesson this morning. Instead of retelling the story, I'm going to read it to you in review. So when we hear this story, it tells something about God, and it also tells the necessity of obedience to God. There's something about God that we need to know in this story. And like Noah, sit up and listen, pay attention, as people say, and do. It's almost we need to present ourselves before God and looking up and saying, God, if you speak, I'm going to listen. God, if you command, I'll obey. And God, if you send, I'll go. And that's the attitude that Noah had. So here's the story. In Genesis chapter 6, beginning at verse 5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. That every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. And continually. So the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth. He was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air. I'm sorry that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God required Noah to do two things. At least I break it down into two things. Number one, in Genesis 6, verse 14, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. So that was one of the things God said, Noah, this is what I want you to do. Make an ark of gopher wood, verse 18. And I'll establish my covenant with you. And you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you'll bring two of every sort into the ark. Keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. And then in verse 22, thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And then the second thing that God required or requested of Noah was that he preach for 120 years to encourage the people to repent, to straighten their lives up, to not keep doing evil continually. Noah was preaching 120 years to get people to turn to God's side. And only eight responded. Eight. 120 years of preaching. And eight people respond. I'm not sure. I know I think about myself preaching. I wonder if I'd still be preaching if I'd never received a response. What if nobody ever responded to my preaching? Noah, 120 years, Noah? He was a preacher of righteousness. So it wasn't his message. He was preaching that which was right, preaching that which God revealed to him or told him to say. In Genesis 6, verse 3, the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, yet his days shall be 120 years. In 1 Peter 3, verse 20, in the text that was read to us, Peter records this Old Testament event. He said, the long-suffering of God. Yeah, so it wasn't just Noah preaching 120 years. God, long-suffering. God said, I'll wait. I'll wait it out. 120 years. The long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. In 2 Peter, his second letter, Peter describes it in chapter 2, verse 5. God saved Noah, one of eight people, and repeats it, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. And the story continues in Genesis chapter 7. Beginning of verse 5. Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Wow. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters were on the earth. So Noah, with his sons, his wife, his sons' wives, went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean animals, of animals that were unclean, of birds, and of everything that creeps on the earth, two by two, they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God commanded Noah. It came to pass, after 7 days, that the waters of the flood were on the earth, or began. And then the story continues, and the Bible tells it that after a year and 17 days that they were in the ark, in Genesis chapter 8, verse 15, God spoke to Noah. And he said, go out of the ark, you and your wife, your sons wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all the flesh that is with you, birds and cattle, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound in the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth, according to their families, they went out of the ark. In Genesis chapter 9, beginning of verse 8, in this particular verse or section, God promises, as you know, that the earth would never again be destroyed by water. And so God set a rainbow in the sky. And when it's seen, this is what God has promised. In Genesis 9, verse 17, God said concerning the rainbow, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth, that God would not destroy the earth again by flood or by water." Genesis chapter 9, beginning of verse 28, says, "Noah lived after the flood 350 years. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died." Now, that's a nice Bible story. Information. And, oh, I remember that. Yeah, I've learned that story from my youth. But now what's the lesson? What am I to take to heart? What am I to learn from that story besides just memorizing some of the facts? What should I take in my life, or how should I respond to God's message? So that brings us to the four lessons that I'm going to present in our sermon this morning. Number one, the earth will again be destroyed, but next time by fire. Peter records it, and it was in our lesson, in our scripture reading this morning. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. "The heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word," or by the word of God, "are reserved for fire." Reserved for fire until the day of judgment and the perdition of the ungodly. In verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise." So what's going to happen this time at the end? Heavens are going to pass away with a great noise. "The elements will melt with fervent heat, and both the earth and the works that are therein will be burned up." So next time it's not by flood, but there will be an end, but by fire. And so in verses 3 and 4, the text that was read to us, "Just as in Noah's day," there'll be some hecklers. Yeah. There'll be some mockers. There'll be some disbelievers. I say, oh, I remember the story. I've heard it from my youth, but I don't believe it. And I don't believe there's a lesson for me in rereading that story or hearing it. What's the lesson? There'll be disbelievers. They say, oh, Brian, there you go again. Yeah. They don't believe there'll be a destruction of the earth. And but just as in Noah's day, people think that just because it hasn't happened yet, that it won't happen. People will say today, oh, that promise to Noah, you know, 6,000 years ago. Things continue as they are all the way till this time. Nope. I think God's slacking his promise. I don't think God means what he says. I'm not going to believe that story. I'm not going to believe the application. Just as in Noah's day. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "To you who are troubled," Paul said, "rest with us." In other words, get on God's side. "Rest with us, that when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his angels, in flaming fire, rendering vengeance on those," he mentions two types or classes of people, rendering vengeance on those that know not God, and on second, on those who obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who will suffer destruction from the presence of the Lord, separation from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his might. Oh, yeah, that will take place. That's our faith. That's what the Word of God says. That's the foundation on which we stand. We believe that. So, we preach. We pray for a response. We pray. We plead, we preach, we pray. But there will be a destruction of the earth. Second lesson, put in your notes, as in Noah's day, we don't know when the end will be. I don't know. In Luke 17, verse 26, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Oh yeah, they did eat, they did drink, they married wives, they were given in marriage. Yeah. Until the day that Noah entered the ark. Oh yeah. And the flood came and destroyed them all. So just as things were taking place in Noah's day, similar things take place in our day. We eat, we drink, we marry, we give in marriage. And that'll take place until Jesus comes again and there'll be a destruction of the earth, creation. Jesus said in Mark 13, verse 32, but of that day and hour knows no one, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. So Jesus makes his own application in the next phrase. So he says, take heed, watch and pray. For you don't know when the time is. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord will so come as a thief in the night. I don't know when it's going to take place. If I knew when the thief was coming, I'd be ready. I'd have an army of people. Tanks. Flamethrowers. I would have an arsenal if I knew when that thief was coming. But I don't know. So we bar the doors, close the windows, set the alarms, because we don't know. So Jesus said, be ready. Just be ready, because we don't know. We don't know. The third lesson that we gain from this story is, as in Noah's time, God's long suffering is going to end. He is certainly long-suffering. God is giving his people time to repent. Just as he did in Noah's day, he's giving us and our world time to repent. And so that's why Jesus commissioned his apostles, you know, go into all the world, tell everybody, don't leave anyone out. Preach the gospel of good news, a message of salvation to every people. Those that believe and are baptized will be saved. Be saved. So God's patience one day is going to run out. And in 1 Peter 3, verse 20, the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. Yeah. And in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, says God is long suffering toward us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then the next phrase gives the warning, oh, but the day of the Lord will come. The long-suffering, the patience of God is going to run out. It won't last. We'll learn that from the story. The people probably thought, 120 years this man's been preaching? He may go on for another 120 years and nothing will happen. Oh, no. Peter said in Acts 3, verse 19, he tells his audience to repent. That's what God wants. People to turn toward him. Repent, Peter said. Turn again. That your sins may be blotted out. That he may send seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. and that he may send the Christ who's been appointed for you, even Jesus. Peter gives three reasons concerning the long-suffering of God. Why should you repent and be converted? That your sins may be blotted out. Enjoy seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ. God, why are you waiting? If he could answer out loud, he would say, I'm giving people, my creation, time to repent. Time to repent. But the long suffering of God's going to end. Genesis 6, verse 3, my spirit shall not always strive with man. So he sends the flood. 2 Peter 3, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come. It will come. The last lesson, number 4, in your notes, those who do not repair will be destroyed. In Genesis 7, verse 23, says, so he destroyed all living things which were upon the face of the ground. Wow. He destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground. Both man and cattle, creeping things and birds of the air, they were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. You see, Noah prepared. He prepared an ark to the saving of his household. And he did all that God commanded him. Amen. That's mentioned 4 times. I wonder why that's significant. Mentioned 4 times. Noah, you did everything I said. 2 times would have been good. 3 times, but 4 times? He wants us to know. Noah, why were you saved? Oh, because you did all the things that God commanded you. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, this is not in your notes. But it says, therefore, all right, what's the conclusion? What's the answer? What am I supposed to know from this story? What am I to learn? What am I to take to heart? What am I to believe and set my life on? Here it is. Peter said it this way. 2 Peter 3, verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all manner of godliness and holy living? That's right. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. So what am I to gain from this story? I know the facts of the story. I know the people. Oh, but I'm supposed to respond in holy living and godliness. The Old Testament prophet Amos said in Amos chapter 4, verse 12, to the nation of Israel, God's people in the Old Testament, he says the message of God, therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. We could say the same. Noah probably said that same thing. Prepare to meet your God. Amos says, prepare to meet your God. We say the same thing. Prepare to meet your God. Why? Because you will meet your God. Consider that. Why should I prepare to meet my God? Because you will meet him. You will. In the last day. That's why at the close of every lesson, we extend an invitation. We sing what we call an invitation song. It's a song of encouragement to get you to respond the right way. It's a song of exhortation to say the right words, to plead and to pray. The message of Jesus, his last words in Matthew 28, beginning of verse 18. Jesus, what do you want to say before you ascend back to the Father and sit at his right hand? Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. He has all the authority. Can't change a thing. He says, go and make disciples of all the nations. How do you want us to make disciples? Baptizing them in the name or by the authority of heaven. baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them continued education. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Mark records it in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes, have to believe, and is baptized shall be saved. You see, there's a formula, a response. Just as Noah did all that God commanded him, we need to do the same. So Jesus said, this is the commandment that I want you to preach and teach. Teach them I'm the Son of God. I'm the one that God sent. You need to hear that message that God so loved the world. You need to believe it. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. Jesus also said, when you continue that formula or that response, in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, except you repent, you'll perish. And I don't want to perish. So I want to make the confession that the Ethiopian made to Philip when the Ethiopian said, here's water, what hinders me to be saved? Anything stopping me or from being baptized? Anything stopping me from being baptized? If you believe, you may. So he made a confession statement. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip said, stop the chariot. Stop the chariot. In fact, King James said he commanded the chariot to stand still. And immediately they both went down into the water and Philip baptized him. They came up out of the water. And the next verse says the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. Salvation is always an occasion of rejoicing. Always. The Ethiopian now had something to rejoice about. I'm on God's side. I did what he said. That's the lesson from the flood and from all the other Bible stories. So we sing this song of encouragement, song of invitation. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, we can answer it this morning. Let's stand together and we'll sing this encouraging song. If you need to respond in a public way, just simply let that be known at the close of this song.